I didn't record any of that. I forgot to hit the button.
What?
Just kidding. Wait. Yeah, just kidding. Take your driving test at the DMV, I can assure you that's the correct answer. We're en route headed to the Lyric Theater to do a walkthrough and have a conversation with Steve and Tom. And one thing I want to clarify is the difference between the Haunted Theater. You'll hear us referring to that. The Haunted Theater is an event they have there at the Lyric every year. It's really a very, very upscale, professional haunted house that they do. And if you live in the area, you definitely need to come check that out. Because they go and get, like, movie-quality props and animatronics, and they plan this out year-round. Like, they're planning next year's right now. And it's very, very professional. So they do that every year in the theater, and they're getting ready for it. And they were gracious enough to let us come in while they're working on that and let us do a walkthrough and everything. But I wanted to point out the difference between the Haunted Theater and the actual paranormal events of the Lyric Theater. Sloss Furnace?
Sloss Furnace.
Where it's a haunted place that has a haunted place within the haunted place.
Yeah.
Like Paranormalception. I'd love to go to the Sloss Furnace to do an investigation, but I don't know if they let people do that, do they?
I think if you pay a large amount of money, they will.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah.
Before I forget, because we did forget last week, read off that flyer for that. Some friends of ours are putting on another haunted house in, well, I'll let you tell them.
Alright, this is Banner House of Horrors presents A Night to Dismember. It's located at 26500 Highway 23, North Golden, Mississippi. It's October 14th, 15th, 21st, 22nd, 28th, and 29th. There's going to be a trunk or treat that will be held on the 29th, so bring your kids out for that. Let them trick or treat. It starts at 7 p.m. The admission is $7. Come out and scream with them if you dare. So it's going to be basically starting this coming up weekend. And then the next weekend and the next weekend leading up to Halloween. So, if you're in that area, go check them out. I'll give that address one more time. The address was...
You're not going to make them rewind the podcast right now?
Yeah, y'all write it down right now. Like, stop what you're doing, take your hands off of 14 and 4.
Take your hands off the steering wheel
and write this down.
You don't need that. This is 2016, cars have cruise control.
Right, and I guess you can always hit, rewind back and hit it and listen to it again on air. But it's 26500 Highway 23 North, Golden, Mississippi.
What else do we need to announce? So, yeah, I wanted to reiterate, because there's people already putting their name in the hat for the drawing for Dr. Alan Brown's book that we're going to be giving away. I don't think I specified when we're giving it away, but it'll be the end of October, probably right before Halloween. We're going to do a Facebook Live. We're going to print off all the emails. We're going to put them in the hat, shake it up, and draw out a name. And if you want your name to be in that hat, email us, kopopculture69@gmail.com. And in the subject line, put book.
And then in the body, tell us we're beautiful.
Yeah, flattery will get you anywhere. Also this week, we're going to have part two of our conversation with Ms. Shannon Byers. And she was just recently on a... I just listened to another podcast that she did that y'all need to check out. What was that one you stayed up late and listened to it live?
Beyond Reality Radio.
Yeah, Beyond Reality. It's actually really good. I checked it out, listened to it. And look up Dr. Brown's book. It's called Ghosts of Mississippi's Golden Triangle. A lot of the places he talks about are in Columbus. There's a couple in West Point. There's one in Aberdeen, and I can't remember where else.
Starkville and Prairie.
Yeah. Prairie, of course.
Yeah.
That's the... I don't have the shameless promotion bill here.
Dang.
But that's where he mentions Kopop culture in the book.
Yeah.
Welcome to my breakdown.
I don't think he would be eligible to win the drawing, so he can't enter the contest.
Who?
Dr. Brown.
Oh. I'm sorry.
It'd be like me trying to win a Kill JCD. I really have to dub in the shameless promotion bill now.
Yeah, we're going to have to put it in there.
Yeah, we just shamelessly promoted everything.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess that's it for an intro. Sorry for the background noise. Maybe I'll try to dub in some background music or something like that to maybe cover it up and our voices. Oh, and also this week, you know, we've been talking about That's So Sick Fest.
Yeah.
Well, Shutdown Tactic, some friends of ours that are playing. Can I get over?
Yeah.
These cars are trying to crash into me and I don't like it.
Shutdown Tactic.
Yeah, they're playing Friday night, I believe. But they just released a new song and I talked to them. I'm going to just drop it on the air and we're going to play it on this episode as well.
Awesome.
I've listened to it. It's really good. So
stick around. Still a lot more to come.
And check it out. Yo.
Homie, yo, G.
We suck at signing off of things.
We don't sign off. That's what I just said. Perfect.
We need some catchphrases.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop
Culture. Tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
All right, I'm here with Mr. Tom Booth, and what's your official title?
I'm Executive Director of Tupelo Community Theater, which owns the Lyric Theater.
Okay, right. How long have you been in this position?
I've worked for the theater as Executive Director for almost 15 years, but I've been involved here at the theater since 1992, so 24 years.
Oh, wow. Give me a little bit of the history. I've heard about the tornado and stuff like that. Was it 1936?
That's correct. The theater itself was built in 1912. Okay. Good point of reference. Same year the Titanic sank.
Wow.
So a lot of good big things happening that year. It was built for live theater, the same thing we do here today, except when it was built originally, they didn't produce their own theater. Vaudeville is what was going on. Touring companies. In fact, the first show that was ever here, as best we can find, was a minstrel show, which would be highly inappropriate today, of course. But, you know, there were little vaudeville touring groups. They did some community events in here, but that went on until 1931. The Depression was going on at that time, and they converted from a live theater to a movie theater. So when the tornado hit in 1936, this had been converted into a movie theater. Now, the conversion was nothing except bringing a projector and bringing a screen. They really didn't have to change anything. But, yeah, in 1936, when the tornado hit, this building was damaged very little. You can see, if you walk around to the side of the building where Court Street is, you can see some bricks that have been replaced up near the top in a couple of places. But structurally, the building was okay. And so the building was used as a hospital and morgue. The original hospital, my understanding is, was down on the corner where First United Methodist Church is, on the corner of Green and Main, and it was destroyed by the tornado.
Would this be considered one of the oldest buildings on Tupelo Main Street?
It is. You know, Tupelo is not really known for its historic preservation. Now, Tupelo has done amazing things. I mean, it's got a great economy and a lot of good things.
Right.
But there aren't that many old buildings left. Several of the buildings downtown are a little bit older than this, but we're one of the oldest buildings around.
I was looking at some of these pictures up here. What's some of the years on
the... Yeah, the picture that you're looking at there with the horse and buggy in front of it was one of the originals, like the early years, 1912, 1913, something like that. And then if you look here, there's another picture up here. You can tell by the cars that it's old.
Yeah.
The first picture we looked at did not have a marquee on the building. This picture has one of the first marquees, but nothing like what we have out there now. And this is 1939, a movie starring Robert Taylor and Myrna Loy called Lucky Night was playing in 1939 at the Lyric.
Wow.
Yeah.
Going back to the tornado, I know you can go on Google right now and type in 1936 Tupelo tornado. And it's always going to be like somewhere in the top 10 of deadliest tornadoes of all time.
It is still the fifth most deadly tornado in American history.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Over 200 people were killed, and they think that number was low because there was a large segment of the African-American community that was affected, and they think a lot of those deaths were just never reported.
Because
of the time. I mean, it was just, you know, I don't know if you know the history, but at that time, the Shake Rag community existed about where the Bancor South Arena is. It was an African-American community kind of between downtown and East Tupelo. And that's one of the reasons that Elvis had such a huge African-American connection, because when he walked from his home in East Tupelo to downtown, he walked right through it.
Yeah, that's right.
And our stories are that he used to wander through there and listen to the music. And so anyway, it was a huge part, but that community was, you know, severely damaged by the tornado. So everyone in the downtown area through Shake Rag was really affected by this tornado.
And like you said, this facility here, they housed bodies, and people would actually come claim their loved ones.
That's right.
Identify.
Yeah, we do not have as much history as we'd like to, but I can tell you what I know. As you would expect with a theater, we've just got rows and rows and rows of seats in the auditorium. Well, that's not very conducive to taking care of people that are hurt. Obviously, you can put them on the stage or in the floor, whatever.
Right.
But our understanding is they actually went over to the courthouse. They took some of the massive doors off the hinges over there, brought them across the street, laid them across the seat, tops of the seats, and they had people and bodies on there. Also, there's a small basement under the stage of the theater, probably 10 or 12 feet wide by maybe 25 feet long, and we understand that they put some of the bodies down there.
A couple of factors were at play that made it so deadly, from what I understand, is that, one, it was in the middle of the night when the tornado hit, and there was no early warning systems back then. They probably didn't even have any kind of sirens.
Nothing whatsoever.
And they probably had no clue.
Well, I mean, you know, I read a few accounts where people, you know, back in that time, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these, but one of these antique clocks used to have the little barometric pressure tubes on the side of the clocks. And so you could feel, you could actually look in your home and go, oh, the pressure's changing. And I'm not sure people really understood as much as they should what that meant, but a storm was upon them before people knew. And I think, as you've read some of the stories, you know, entire families of 10 or 12 parents and children were killed.
Oh, yeah. And it was, do they know the classification, or are they just assuming it was an
F5? I think it was an F5. I mean, as best they could determine by the damage. I don't know when they came up with those classifications.
Yeah, they're probably at the time there may not have even been a classification.
Right, but it's been described as a class 5 or level 5, whatever. Like,
and it's such a condensed, populated area. Right, that's
exactly.
That's
yeah, Tupelo was nothing like it is today, and right. Most people lived close to Tupelo, or they lived out in the county, you know, so, you know, it did major damage.
And they've got, I had to do some digging to find the pictures, but of course the old cameras they would have had in the 30s, they took several shots,
right.
And somebody put it together
as a
panoramic, have you seen that?
Yeah, that's
and
incredible.
And it's just like,
the
wow.
Devastation is unbelievable. I mean, we see stuff today, and of course, you know, if you saw the damage from the tornado, I guess it was 14 that mm-hmm. hit here and came through Joyner. We had huge damage again, but this time no loss of life because the warnings were there and people
right.
heeded the warnings
exactly.
for the most part.
Yep, that's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And the debris, everything just looked like matchsticks
yeah.
and splinters.
Just
I mean,
destroyed.
It was just, and of course, you hear stories, but you don't know what's hearsay and what's not. But I heard stuff like sections of sidewalk that was flipped upside down in place.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And the pine needles through car doors
oh, yeah,
and
I've
stuff
heard,
that you typically hear about.
Yeah, absolutely.
A tornado that big. Well, obviously, people make the connection with the paranormal stuff that goes on here with that event. Does anybody know anything about what happened between the tornado and when people started hearing things, seeing things?
We really don't. As I said before, I've been here for 24 years, and when I showed up, something, I don't remember, nothing really, but something happened one night, and someone that was here said, oh, that was Antoine. I'm like, who's Antoine? And so they kind of tell me, oh, Antoine's our ghost, and he, you know, he pulls pranks. We describe him as Casper, because he's never done anything vicious or mean or
yeah.
But he has scared people many times. But no one seemed to know where the name Antoine came from. No one seemed to know exactly who Antoine was. The two stories are, and I think you've sort of hinted at one, that one was either someone that was brought here, a body that was brought here that was killed in the tornado, or someone that might have been brought here and died
mm-hmm.
and you know, stayed in the Lyric. The other story that's been bannered around is, of course, in the early days of the Lyric, you know, electricity, heating, all that was very different than today.
Right.
And if you go around again on the Court Street side of the theater near the stage door back there, you'll see a chute, a little small door where they used to load coal into the basement. That was part of the purpose of the basement, was to
right.
store coal. And the furnace was down there. And our understanding is that they had caretakers, custodians, whatever you want to call it, that might be down there a lot of the time during the winter months, making sure that that stoked. Some people have even expressed the thought that some of them might have even lived down there in the sense that they might have had a cot and a small little
right.
area, and that might have been a trade out. They didn't have any place to live.
Right.
Hey, you can live here in the Lyric, and we'll pay you a little bit of money, but you're getting to live there, and your job is to maybe take care of the building and keep it warm. And so the consensus is that it's either the tornado victim or one of the caretakers that quite possibly could have even died in the building and never left.
How good were they keeping records as far as death certificates are concerned back in that
I
day?
I have no idea.
I don't even know when they started death
certificates. I have no idea. My parents were born in 28, and I know that they had birth certificates then.
Right.
You know, and obviously that's just mandatory now, birth certificates, death certificates. But, you know, I have no idea if anything would have been recorded. It actually, what might have been recorded if they could figure out who people were after that. And I'm assuming everybody was claimed and no bodies went into the grave unidentified. But probably newspaper accounts might have actually been better listings than maybe death certificates. I'm sure you could go back and search if people had wills, you know,
yeah.
Legal documents where
right.
property was inherited by someone else in
yeah.
the family. But that's some serious searching there.
Yeah, we actually know a lady that she's a paranormal genealogist.
Oh, really?
And
wow,
she
that's
researches the. It is. We had her on the show last week, and she goes and does research and gets like kind of the facts straight on the probability of could this have happened. For example, last our you know, like I told you before, every October all of our shows are Halloween related.
Right.
And we went out to the Gulf Ordnance Munitions Plant in Prairie, and we actually stayed the night out there. It's the old bomb factory.
Oh, I know.
What I kept hearing was that it's haunted by Civil War soldiers.
Yeah, really?
So I went and talked to a Civil War historian, and I made sure that that's plausible.
Right.
Because I didn't want to go out there and say, hey, this is supposedly haunted by Civil War soldiers.
It
and then somebody
didn't make any sense.
And somebody go, there was never a battle there.
Yeah, yeah.
But come to find out, there is a couple of skirmishes, and of course, Ellis Bridge, I think, was fairly close to there. So it is plausible that there was Civil War-related deaths in that area.
Interesting enough, both my grandfather and my father worked there. My grandfather was a security guard there, and my dad, I think, was a short-timer there, but he may have been security guard too, but a lot of history out there for sure.
Yeah, that place is so fascinating, and I had no idea how big that... It's like a city.
Yeah, it's spread out.
And they built it in no time. Even in that day and age, it just sprung up like that.
Well, there was war.
Yeah.
They had to.
And it just shows you how fast people can
move if they have to.
If they have to, yeah, absolutely. Well, getting back to the paranormal-related side of things, what kind of stuff have you personally experienced that made you go kind of... Are you a skeptic?
Absolutely. And here's what I tell people all the time. I can absolutely guarantee that my experience has happened. I am a believer in spirits. Mm-hmm. I am a believer in afterlife. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And, I have my beliefs about that. I can't understand it, you know, but I can just share with you what I've done, what's happened to me. And I will say, beyond the two stories I'm going to tell you, we hear things all the time. Uh-huh. Once again, it's a 104 years old building. I live in an old house. Things creak, things move.
Settled.
You know, but recently, I'll just give this example. I have a part-time box office manager that's here in the afternoons. And one afternoon, I was sitting here, usually keep my office door open into the rest of the theater. She works in the box office out in the lobby, and she keeps her office door open so we can kind of hear what's going on. We heard this huge crash, and it sounded like to me a shelf of some kind had fallen somewhere in the building, which would not be extraordinary. We got stuff on shelves everywhere, sometimes overweighted. She comes walking around here. She's like, what was that? I have no idea. We went through the whole building. We still haven't found anything collapsed.
Wow.
So, you know, what that noise was, I don't know. Now, 2 weeks from now, will I walk up and find something somewhere I haven't noticed and go, oh, that's what that was. I can't imagine that happening. But my two experiences both happened late at night when we had been in the building for either a show or an event, and I had left. We had finished for the night, and I had to come back in the building for something. One night I needed to come back. I remembered I didn't cut something off, and I came back for that. I came in my office door here. I walked through my office. I went and did whatever I had to do, cut off lights or turn something off. I don't remember specifically. And I came back in here, and I got ready to go, and I can't find my keys. Now, what I think I did was I think I threw my keys right here like that as I passed through. So I search, I go back where I am, I go back and check my car, I think I'm locked in my car, but how could I lock in my car? It came in the door, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I found my keys, and they weren't these keys, which are bigger, stuffed down in this thing right here by my phone. It's a little plexiglass container. I will tell you, for about a month after that, I bounced my keys as hard as I could.
Trying to recreate it.
I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think I threw my keys on my desk here and Antoine put my keys in there. I will tell you that it creeped me out. I got my keys and I left.
I don't blame you.
The other time, I came in the door next to my office door, which goes directly into what we call the North Annex, which is the workshop where we build sets. There's a stairway right as soon as you come in the door going up to the upstairs. And I will point out that the portion we're in right now is all new.
Okay.
New in the sense 23 years ago it was built.
Yeah.
That the exterior wall of the Lyric is right here to our left. So I find it interesting because both of my experiences were in the new portion, not the old portion.
Gotcha.
You know, so he has embraced the whole building.
He approves of the addition, I suppose.
Or disapproves.
Or, yeah, okay, yeah, good point.
So I come in that door, and as I come in, I can only describe it as hearing someone kind of laughing, singing, la, 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 ha, ha, ha. And I said, very funny. Because whenever we're working on something, because we're a big volunteer organization, multiple people have keys. My assistant has a key. I have a key. Steve Miller, who's director of Haunted Theater, has a key. The director of an upcoming show has, two directors of upcoming shows have keys. My building chairman has a key. Multiple keys.
Right.
And so I think, yeah, someone, I parked in front, someone's parked on the side of the building, they came in to do something else, they heard me drive up, and they think, watch this.
You're messing with
you. I'm going to miss it. So I went through the whole building, I went out the stage door, which is on the side, walked around the front, there was no one here, there were no cars here. Once again, I got my keys and left.
I don't blame you.
You know, just creepy, whatever. Yeah. And it's, there is no way I could have made that up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I will even go to the exception that by some miracle, I might have bounced my keys in this little plexiglass container. But I did not make up hearing that. It absolutely happened.
Right.
So, again, I'm a believer, not a believer. I don't know. I know what happened. I don't know how it happened.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because it sounds like you're take on paranormal lines up almost perfectly with mine, because I call myself paranormal curious.
Yeah.
I think the stories are fascinating and interesting. I love the history of everything. He, on the other hand, he's a paranormal investigator.
Sure.
So it's a cool dichotomy on the podcast. And actually, him being a paranormal investigator, he's more skeptical than anybody because he tries to debunk anything and weed out what might not be paranormal to help further expose what is paranormal.
Well, and as you know, and I think you and I have talked before or shared messages or whatever, so far we have not allowed anyone to do any investigation in the Lyric for two reasons. Number one, we're mostly volunteer organization. If we let somebody come in for the night, someone's going to have to be here with them. But the other thing is, when we do it, honestly, selfishly, we want to maximize the marketing of it.
Understandable.
Yeah, so, you know, we just have not done it yet. I'm not saying that we won't ever do it, but we just have not moved in that direction because, you know, it's kind of fun for people to not have a, and I'm using air quotes here, scientific thought on it. It's just what our amateurs have done and heard, and what our people have heard, you know, and lots of people have had lots of experiences, and Steve may share some stuff. I was doing an interview for a newspaper article the other day, and Steve and I had both talked, and he had expressed some stuff to the writer that I've never heard before, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and in fact, recently a former director told me about something that happened to him that I'd never heard before. So, you know, everybody's kind of aware.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of accepts as part of the deal.
Yeah.
And moves on, you know.
And too, with that, I can understand from your point of view, because this is such a high profile place as far as paranormal in the general public. If you Google most haunted places in Mississippi, the Lyric is going to be in the top, like,
if you, yeah, we're looking at a picture in the office of Premier Magazine, where we were ranked as one of those five or six most haunted theaters in America. Now, who makes this ranking?
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
And they shuffle the list. They shuffle the list on every website, the Lyric is always in that list.
Well, it is Antoine, whatever that may be, is certainly responsible for our very successful haunted theater, because that was the perfect tie-in. This is our 11th year to do it. It's hugely successful financially. We have thousands of people to go through here each year. We do it six nights. We talked about it for years before we actually did it. You know, like, we should do this, we should do it. And the first year we did it, I was highly involved in it. And the person that started it, she and I kind of put it together. And it was very low-key and very low-tech. But people loved it. And it's just grown bigger and bigger and bigger every year since then.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about it on the way up here. It's amazing that I call it movie quality. Yeah. It's like you walk into a sci-fi horror movie.
Yeah, well, they've done some extraordinary things this year. It's totally different this year than any year before. They kind of went with a theme this year as opposed to in the past. We would have multiple rooms, and each director of a room or an area would just come up with their own theme.
Right.
It wasn't united. So, but I'll let Steve talk. I'll let Steve decide if he wants to let the theme out of the bag. But,
right.
it's very cool and it's amazing. I can't wait to see it with the lights and with the sound and all those things going, because now we just see it.
Right,
you know,
as it's being built.
As it's being built.
What's the first night that it's open?
We open Friday the 14th, this weekend.
Oh, this coming weekend.
Yeah, 14th, 15th, 21st, 22nd, 28th, 29th. We won't open on Halloween night this year because it's a Monday night, and it's you know, we used to open on Thursday nights and do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursdays were always slow. We'd have people, but it's almost like, won't those people come another night? You know, and so now we just go Friday, Saturday. We have done seven nights before, but that's when we had Halloween was on a weekend.
Right, you know? Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
What's the cost of admission?
It's $15. There's no children's price. It's $15 across the board. There's no group price. We don't sell tickets in advance. You literally show up, pay your money, get in line, and they take you through in groups. So, you know, even on the worst night, I think the wait could be 30 minutes, maybe even 45 minutes at the worst. I encourage people to come early, you know, like come the early weekends.
Right.
Somebody told me the other night that her children came three times last year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, and how many kids do you have? Well, there were six of them coming, and they came three times. We got a bundle of money from those families.
Yeah.
But obviously they enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And they came back and back. And we have a lot of workers that work on it and volunteer on it. They do it year after year after year. And Steve Miller, who's directing again this year, I think he's directed more than half of the years. Tracy Conwell was the person that started it. And she and I kind of did it maybe the first two or three years. Steve moved on board. He's had to be out a year or two. But we've got a great group of people.
Awesome. Well, I was here 2 years ago, and I went through, and I was very impressed. And my wait wasn't that long either.
Yeah.
There was quite a few people backed up inside the lobby.
Yeah.
But it moves pretty quick because they take you to the waiting section and the seats. And
they're doing it a little bit different this year. You won't go to the waiting area. You'll go directly into
the scares.
That's exactly right. Now, my understanding is, and I'm not privy to all the stuff, but I know we're not going upstairs the way we've historically gone before. So, the other thing is, you know, opening weekend, opening night, just like we do a theater production, they may learn something that's not working or that needs to be enhanced or is working too much. It's freaking people out and they can't get them to move through. And so it's much like live theater. They adjust. They won't change anything dramatically, but they'll adjust a little bit, you know, as they see how those things go.
Cool. We look forward to doing it, seeing it this year, too.
Well, great, great. Well, we look forward to having you.
Cool. Did you have anything else before we go to the next part or whatever?
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Cool. I enjoyed that.
Oh, me too.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh, yeah. They do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
Start back at the, you said from when it shut down to when y'all started it back up.
Right. It was one of the last shows that the Lyric actually produced as a movie house. In 1984, the Lyric was purchased and... the Lyric was purchased by Tupelo Community Theater, and in 84 is when we first started noticing things happening, and that's when Antoine first name came on board. Nobody knows where the name came from. It just happened.
That kind of adds to the mystery of it, I think, a little bit.
Well, you would think that somebody would have some kind of knowledge, but it was just Antoine. And I've heard stories. I don't know if this is factual, but they think it possibly was a black man of a young age that mm-hmm. was killed in the tornado. Mm-hmm. But it was reported a lot of black people were not reported because of birth certificates weren't accurate, you know, birth records and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's what we were talking about in there was in 36. I don't know if they even had good death certificates for
no.
And he had said something about there's rumors of people working in the boiler room and stuff like that, and there could possibly have been something that happened there, but we don't know if there'd be any death certificates.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I was told firsthand experience that when the bodies were brought in here, they would take doors off. Well, there were doors everywhere. There was crap everywhere. And they would lay them across the backs of the seats and lay the bodies out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report of one man being impaled by I'll just say a 2x4 because I don't know what it was, but he wasn't dead and they thought he was. So he was euthanized.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, it apparently was too far gone. But then they also used the stage, he told you, I'm sure, as an operation
mm-hmm.
room. And
yeah.
the popcorn machine was used as a sterilization tool. And bodies were stored in the coal chute underneath the stage, which if you want to see it, I can show you that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's in its natural state. It's not anything happened down there. I mean, maybe a few wires, but other than that, it's like it was. My wallet came up missing. During this show,
I came this year?
Yeah, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I came over, and I was the only one in the building, and I hanged my clothes up in the back, and when it was time to leave, I walked out, and my wallet was gone. And I specifically touched it, because I said, do I want to put this in my back pocket? I'm
right.
Like, no, heck, I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
Well, I still haven't found it.
So you distinctly remember putting it in one place, and it's not there?
It was in my pants that I hung on the wall. Along with my keys and my cell phone and everything else.
And you still haven't found it?
I got brand new wallet. One of the major things that happens to me, Antoine, I'm like a magnet for Antoine, and I'm not just saying that. Because I ignore him, it happens more.
Oh, okay.
And I don't address it, I don't acknowledge it, I have nothing to do with it. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in dealing with spirits. We know they're real.
Right.
So for that purpose alone, I do not talk to Antoine.
Right.
That's why we're outside talking.
Because you're afraid it might get curious about our conversation?
Listen, I even turn on radio, and I hate country music, but I'll turn on any kind of music just to give a background noise because stuff is falling constantly. Things are all around me. 2x4s just falling for no reason.
That was one thing you mentioned on the phone, and I wanted to see if I heard you correctly. Did you say you've had 2x4s come flying at you?
Not flying at me. Like if I have a stack of 2x4s that I'm working with,
mm-hmm.
they'll just fall.
Just fall over.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't. Do you ever feel like something's trying to quote unquote get you, or is it just mischievous? Like
it's just mischievous.
Getting your attention.
Definitely getting my attention. It's playful. I've never been hurt, other than when I knocked myself out.
Yeah.
But I've never been hurt or threatened. I feel very eerie when I'm in there, though.
Yeah.
Seth, I get him to go turn the lights and the air off upstairs because the fabric room is upstairs, and that is one of the most terrifying rooms in the whole theater. You feel like eyes are on you every second you're there. The hair on the back of my neck stands up, and I don't know what happened in that room, but there is something going on in that room.
And you ever had like that kind of creepy feeling anywhere else other than the Lyric? I mean, is it just this? There's something about this building?
No, pretty much the rest of the building is just what it is, old and creaky.
Yeah.
But the fabric room, and but this Worth of Theater stores, there's fabric. We don't know what was there. It's I'll take you up there.
Absolutely.
It is incredibly eerie feeling. And if I can't find that light switch in about 2 swipes, I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. Gotcha. Have you ever seen anything that seemed disembodied, like heard a voice or just seen something on the corner of your eye?
I've never heard anything.
Never
now,
heard
Tom,
it.
I think, has heard voices singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have not heard anything. It's like he treats me totally different.
You know, it's funny. I've heard, and you could probably confirm this, he's a paranormal investigator. Mm-hmm. I call myself paranormal curious. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, right. I almost don't ever
want to. I'm just paranormal. Scared.
But I've always heard you're not supposed to name a ghost. And that's... we don't know...
Like, well, that's why I don't address him.
Yeah.
That's exactly... And, you know, we say Antoine is a guy only, I guess, because he does male-type things. Mm-hmm. But one... Okay. This is for real. We were working on... It was a Christmas show 4 years ago. The Man Who Came to Dinner, mm-hmm. my wife's first show we were in. And we were told about smells of Antoine. I'd never heard it before, and I was real curious. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, we'll notice a very cheap woman's perfume smell, faintly. Mm-hmm. That kind that your great-great-great-grandmother used to wear, just really obnoxious smell.
Yeah.
Or pipe or tobacco smell. And I promise you, as I'm breathing right now, the next day I started smelling them.
Wow.
And then they went away.
I wonder if it could be more than one spirit. You never know.
There's a lot of, I mean, it's a reported 280-something people died in a tornado. That's kind of where they are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot more people. Yeah. There's no telling how many were brought through here.
What are some of the experiences like that you've heard other people talk about that they've had when they were working here? Same kind of thing?
I really haven't talked that much with others in compared stories. Tom is about the only one. I just really don't deal with it because I have to work a lot down here alone.
Yeah.
And I don't need other things in the back of my
mind. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. And they say this time of year is when things are worse, supposedly.
And I'm always in here.
And this is when you're here.
Yes, I'm here. Now that you mention it, I work all year round different shows, but it seems like from October to December is the busiest time for the things to happen.
Yeah.
And if he's listening, I'd like my wallet back.
I think he's a fan of the show.
He must be. Tom said his keys have come up missing and misplaced.
Yeah, he told us a story about when he threw his keys on his desk and they wound up somewhere else where he doesn't see how they could have gotten to. So I found that's pretty interesting.
My wife thinks I dropped it somewhere. But, I mean, I was parked where the trucks are. I've backtracked everywhere. I've torn this theater apart. It's not here. I've had other people looking.
One of the cool things is if you went on Google right now and typed in most haunted places, definitely in Mississippi, but even in America, the Lyric is going to be somewhere in that list. Like he was saying before, who knows how they rank them or how they come up with that, but the Lyric is always somewhere in that mix. Why do you think it's so widely known?
It's such
known?
An iconic building.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This thing survived a tornado where everything around it was leveled.
Sword, yeah.
It was a body reclaim. I mean, this was a morgue. This was a place of death, not happiness at that particular time.
Yeah.
And we were working one time when Katrina, but there was another storm that came through, and everybody was wanting to leave. I said, no, it's made it through one tornado.
This is the place to be.
I'm here. I'm rolling the dice here. And we stayed, and nothing happened. But some of these places, and I like the way it was, and if you understand what I'm saying, we've got this new facade, which is cool, and this is probably put up in the 50s, maybe. Mm-hmm. But backstage is like it used to be. It's what... people looked at it's a building was built in 1912. So it's like it was. And that, to me, is a draw.
Absolutely.
I like it.
There's not very many buildings still standing in the world that were built that long ago.
But anytime you want to check out...
Yeah, can we go to some of these rooms you're talking about and just check it out? I'm just going to kind of keep recording and edit out whatever we should.
Okay, guys. These are not the original seats. They were changed because the original seats were a lot narrower. But they're in the original places.
Do you have to take them out to do the haunted theater?
No.
Or is everything up there, kind of up there?
Everything stays back up there. We have brought them out here in different places, but the locals are in. All right, let me go get a lamp real quick.
Yeah, I think when I came and did haunted theater, the waiting area was up there.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, in the balcony. Yeah, because people would reach over the balcony and like try to like scare you and mess with monster hands and stuff. And then the thing went all over the whole building.
The trap door backstage is covered over with sets, so we can't go that way. We can go this way. A little pipe. But
may just want to look, but I think if you get in there, you'll get the full,
yeah,
the full Monty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get out here and turn the lights off.
All right. Well, this is a small crawl space.
Okay. This was where they stored the coal.
And so this was like the boiler room.
Yeah. This is where the bodies were also stored. Here's the coal chute. You can see some real coal that came in.
Oh, yeah.
They burned it.
You can smell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But this is original, man.
I would, I guess the reason they probably would have stored bodies in here, I mean, I imagine it being cooler.
Constant, was it 68 degrees underground, yeah, something like that?
Yeah.
I was poking around and found that it's not too long ago. Well, it's been a couple of years now, but look how cool that is.
Oh, wow.
An old ashtray, yeah.
Yeah, that could be cleaned up. And that's probably original stuff.
You could film a horror movie in this room. He's got the old brick, you know, and like the old...
This, I have no idea why this hole was not through the wall, but it is. Look at that.
Probably some kind of maintenance or something.
I don't know. They'll go over it. Hmm. I'm sure somebody knocked a hole in there for something.
In the years that this place stayed unused, basically... I'm surprised. Was there not any vandalism or anything like that?
No, but you pretty much, it went from Lyric to TCT. Gotcha. There wasn't much of a gap there. But just the fact that these old bricks, I mean, I'm all tangled up. I mean, it's just, man, it's just got history down here, you know?
Yeah. Like now, you said, it's like it's still 1912 down there.
Exactly. Let me show you the eeriness of what goes on. Now, is this nice, not freaky spooky down here now?
Yeah.
You still see the original beams.
Mm-hmm. You can tell where they've had to repair some of them, replace them.
Yes, indeed.
This would actually make a really sweet wine cellar.
It would. It really would. Other than when you're alone, you don't want to come down.
Other when you're alone, you really need a drink after coming down here.
Or to get down in here. See, it really didn't, it didn't have an apron, what we call the front of the stage apron. Uh-huh. It didn't have one back then. This was a vaudeville stage. They did acting side to side and never came down.
Oh, okay. So. What does that mean to?
That's the one that goes up on behind the stage, but we've got it covered.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, because that's where the, we're right under where the haunted there is going to
right.
be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And y'all's first night is going to be Friday, isn't it?
Friday. You might want to open and shut that.
I'm good. I'm flexible for a fat guy.
Sure, well, I'm not. Okay. All right, let's, it's hard to show you backstage because we're completely solid back there.
Right. Saying.
But I can show you up there the bad parts are. Well, I've been here so much, I don't smell the old building. Do you smell it?
Down there for sure, almost took my breath away. The mustiness down there.
I don't smell it up here at all.
Yeah, not so much up here at all.
These rooms were rented out to businesses. The guy supplemented his income with renting out offices.
Like office spaces, yeah.
This is just a little... But see, that still, once again, you can kind of see what the way things see the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Why things are and what they are. And you know what? I just noticed something. I never knew that room was down there.
You just found a new room?
I just found it. Look out. I've never had a light in here.
That is absolutely a room.
That's a room down there. So I'll be in there pretty soon.
There's your office.
There you go. Leave me alone.
Nobody can find you.
Here is our costume rooms and everything. Oh, gosh, somebody's torn them all to pieces. But once again, look at the old...
those old doorways with the vents in the top.
It's painted shut. But.
It's like the antebellum home doorways where they had a window at the top.
Yep. All right, now we come into my least favorite room.
This is what you refer to?
This is the fabric room, yeah. Jump on up in there.
Yeah, it's definitely like the atmosphere changes in here.
It does, doesn't it?
You know what I can equate it to? last year they did the sanatorium hospital in Amory. His paranormal team did a, what do y'all call it? It was basically a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the museum.
And we didn't really catch anything as far as, I don't think there was any EVPs or pictures. But there was this one room, I think they call it the Bible room, because there's a big giant Bible on a podium in there. But when I walked in the room, I was like, it's like I just stepped into a whole different, like the, it felt the air was heavier or something like that.
Well, there's no rhyme or reason, but something is astray. Now, we added the wall back there. You can see where we
got off. Yeah,
but these steps, there's no reason. I mean, this door, I've looked trying to see writing on it so I could figure out what kind of room it was rented or something. This place is weird.
There's no telling. But yeah, when we walked in that one room when we were doing the...
No, that's just new. It's the what we call the newest, 25 years old, but it's that annex. It's a rehearsal hall, and then downstairs is...
I got you.
What a... square footage is...
I think it's 60,000 square feet.
Wow. So this is... We're directly above Tom's office area?
Tom's office is right there.
Got you. Okay. This reminds me a lot of the, which I think, I don't know if they're, which one's older, but we hung out at the Princess Theater in Columbus quite a bit. One thing that reminds me of is all the little rooms that is, it's endless, it's like a labyrinth.
and I think a lot of it was afterthoughts.
Yeah.
You know?
Like that room you just found.
Right. Which I'm going to go check out someday.
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
No, man, we appreciate it. I know you're busy. You probably need to get back to
I'm okay.
What you're doing, but...
Seth's got it under control.
We'll take a picture in the front of the building.
Yeah, man.
Gosh, thanks for coming out.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
there one specific kind of experience that got you into the paranormal that you had? Or is this just something that you've always just kind of been passionate about?
No, I can tell you exactly what happened. You remember the book fairs we used to have when we were in school?
Right.
Okay. 8 years old, we had a book fair. You know, you check off the little list of what books you wanted to buy, and then they'd bring in everything they had and set it up in the library and try to get you to buy more books. There was a book at that particular book fair. It was called Haunted Houses by Larry Kettlekamp. And it had a picture of a ghost on the front of it.
Right.
And I saw that book, and from that moment on, my life's purpose was to take a picture of a ghost.
Tell us a little bit about your team, Timeless Paranormal.
Well, it is just me and my husband.
Uh-huh.
We don't play well with other people.
I understand. So. I understand.
We tried to be in a bigger team once, and it just didn't work. He and I are so in sync with each other. You know, we could do an entire investigation without talking to each other if we had to.
Right.
He and I met in 2003, and, you know, he had an interest in the paranormal, you know, from a young age. Not quite as young as me. His hit when he was a teenager, and he used to, you know, go with friends and take girls to spooky places and, you know, try to get them scared so they could he could protect them.
Right.
And he ended up having an experience. And it kind of, you know, killed that thrill-seeking part of him that he had. And he started taking it more seriously. So when he and I met and got together, you know, we would go places and do things. We'd go to cemeteries. We would go to historical places. You know, I grew up with parents who our summer vacations were always a historical place.
Right.
And, you know, so we would go, you know, battlefields, you know, things like that, and try to capture stuff.
Right.
Well, back in 2013, you know, there were some historical places I really wanted to get into and officially investigate. And these places now, because of what others have done, you know, they want a resume, they want references, they want to know where you've been, what you've done,
yeah, exactly.
That you're organized. So we didn't actually have a name until 2013, and that's when I came up with Timeless Paranormal.
Okay.
And the timeless represents, you know, both the history and the spirit itself, because they're stuck and have no idea what time they're in.
Right.
So that's how the name came about. And, you know, we started working with historical places. And, you know, we've gotten a really good reputation down here. The Department of Natural Resources actually calls us in to investigate state parks here in Georgia. We're both members of the Archaeology Society here where we live. We're both on the board for the Preservation Society for the city that we live in. So we take the historical aspect really seriously, and this opens doors for us. You know, people know we're serious.
Right.
You know, we also take the confidentiality, you know, really seriously as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing.
Like the DNR's got us going places. Some places they don't mind if we mention that we've been there, but they've got places that aren't open to the public,
right,
that they've had problems, that they've called us in, and we, you know, we can't say where they are and stuff,
right,
like that.
I mean,
that.
Nowadays, you have to, like with my paranormal team, you have to go in and tell the client, especially like on a private residence, if you don't want me to publish your findings, I won't.
Right.
But if you do, if you're okay with it, here, I've got a waiver you can sign. You know,
well, our waiver actually covers both. It's got one box they can check that says you can't share. We can share evidence if we get it. We just can't say where we got it from.
Right.
Or we can be as wide open as we want, you know, because there's some places that want places, you know, people to know that they're quote unquote haunted.
Right.
Well, I consider myself an authority on Three Legged Lady Road. So if you want to do that, you can quote me on. Just send them to me if they got a problem with it.
I'm going to have to look
look that one up, because I swear that is so funny. I've never heard that.
If you look up,
I thought Booger Hill here was weird, but yeah, no, you topped it with Three-Legged Lady Road.
Columbus, Mississippi. If you look up Columbus, Mississippi, it's one of the places that'll be listed as haunted. Is Three-Legged Lady Road.
But if I come out there, will y'all take me out to Three-Legged Lady Road?
Definitely,
absolutely. What's the biggest investigation you've done, and what's on your bucket list that you want to do?
Would you believe me if I told you I haven't been to the big places because we refuse to pay to investigate anywhere? I'm not putting money in these people's pockets.
No, exactly.
Especially if they're lying about the history. Well, small historical places that charge a minimal fee, and that money goes to the preservation fund.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
It's like the house that we have here that we're on the board for. There are spirits in that house. And we do fundraising by having paranormal classes in that house and then letting people investigate after the thing. And it's, you know, $20-$25 a person.
Right.
It's not $1,000 like going to Waverly for the weekend. To me, there's a difference in those kind of charges.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got, you know, paranormal teams like your team and my team, we're not like the big money makers like Ghost Adventures and stuff that's got corporate that can write a check for this kind of stuff, you know. It almost
comes out of my grocery money.
Right, exactly. To me, it feels almost like they're keeping it from us in a sense, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel. I mean, it's like, you know, Waverly is a good example. Old South Pittsburgh Hospital to me is another one because the history they give out on that one is not right.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to pay somebody who's lying to me.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. Because when you, like with you, especially after talking to you now, when you go into a place like that, it doesn't matter if you've paid the money or not. You're going to do the research behind it and you're going to get the truth.
Oh, yeah. I've got a list of, as long as my arm of ones that I'm working on.
Right. So if they want to, keep their, if they want to keep their whole thrill thing going on, maybe they should be paying you to keep quiet about this stuff, you know, instead of you paying them to investigate it.
I don't know, Jerm. I think that's called blackmail.
Hey, whatever works.
A funny thing happened last spring. I actually got invited to an event up at Waverly, and it turned out that another person who, you know, if you read my articles, you'll see I don't really mention any of these people by name.
Right.
That I'm disputing what they say because I don't want their names in my articles. But people know who I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And one of these people was going to be at this event, and I'm like, have you read what I do? Do you really want us both in the same place? Because I'm not going to keep quiet. And I got really quickly uninvited. But as far as the biggest investigation, you know, we haven't done really any big ones. The one I think that I spent the most time on that I actually investigated was a state park down in South Georgia. It's called Florence Marina State Park, and it's one I can talk about. I've got permission. The land was originally a cotton plantation that came up after the Creek War in 1836, and it was a slave plantation, and it's right on the river. And there's one particular cabin in this park where women were getting attacked. They were getting held down in the bed. They were getting choked when they were standing at the sink washing dishes. I mean, it got so bad that the people were calling the DNR office up here in Atlanta, the corporate office, to complain about what had happened to them when they ran away in the middle of the night.
Right.
So they called us down to investigate to see what was going on in that cabin, and we stayed down there for a whole weekend. And I'm going to tell you there's things that happened in that cabin that have never happened to me anywhere else. So that to me, that was the biggest one because, number one, I spent a year hardcore research on this place and because of the experiences we had there.
Yeah, I mean, looking at your webpage and stuff, timelessparanormal.com, you have your past investigations and appearances and stuff that you've done for you know, all this stuff, the Scarefest you've got coming up, I mean, the past stuff that you've done, you've got listed all of, by date, all of your, whether it's a private residence or Wynn Russell House, you know?
Yeah, that's the local house here in town that we're on the preservation board for.
Right, right. But you, for our listeners out there, you can go and you can actually, you know, on their site, see what they've done. I mean, and I'm still steadily scrolling down. I mean, it's going back to like 2013.
Yeah, like that's when I made the website.
Right. I mean, there. You've got it listed. I mean, so for anybody out there that's interested in knowing what's going on, she's got it.
Well, and you can see. I mean, we've got businesses, we've got historical places, we've got private residences. You know, there. If you've got a problem, call me.
Right.
You know, email me. You know, and I'll see if I can help you. You know, I will always, you know, if somebody wants us to come out, that's fine, but you're going to talk to me on the phone first, because I'm one of those people that can read people very well by talking to them, and I'm going to know if you're wanting a ghost hunter to come out to your house or if you have a legitimate problem that you think you have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, don't send me no pictures with ghost app pictures.
Yeah.
Because I won't even email you back.
Right. Don't send me grainy, foggy pictures of what you think is Bigfoot that's not really Bigfoot. It's like a limb.
Hey, maybe Bigfoot's just a blurry guy. Maybe that's the way he looks.
And that scares me even more because he's like...
he's just a blurry fellow.
He's just a big, blurry, out-of-focus guy roaming the countryside.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
Up until Dragon Con, I've never had an interest in Bigfoot at all whatsoever. Loch Ness Monster, yes. I'll talk to you about the Loch Ness Monster all day long. But Bigfoot, Yeti, all those, no, had no interest. But Bill Brock and Lyle Blackburn were on one of the panels that I did, and they're crypto people.
Right.
And I'm actually kind of interested in Bigfoot now. I don't know. I'm not saying I believe in it, but it's more interesting to me now hearing a real person talk about their hunt for it.
Oh, yeah. Some of those stories are great. Sometimes I don't even care if the story's real or not because it's so entertaining to me that I just like hearing about it.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I mean, I always kind of put the Bigfoot people in the same category with the UFO people, and those are going to be people that... not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with them, but they're not my kind of people. And I met a UFO person and a Bigfoot person that kind of changed my, or I'm not going to say changed my way of thinking. It made me put on the brakes and say, hey, maybe you're putting a stereotype on these people you shouldn't be putting a stereotype
right.
on.
It kind of opened your eyes a little bit to the possibility.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, we all know aliens built the pyramids, you know.
That's Mark's, like,
I'm convinced Bigfoot's an alien, and that's why he only shows up every once in a while.
He's got to be some kind of interdimensional being, otherwise we'd have caught him by now.
What is it they say on Facebook?
See, that's what I think the Loch Ness Monster is.
Hey, look.
Seriously.
What is it they say?
That's a whole other discussion.
What is it they say on Facebook that Bigfoot, I guess Loch Ness Monster could fit into this category, too, is that it's like the hide-and-seek champion to this date?
I noticed you were talking about Waverly a lot, and it took me a minute to realize that actually you have a Waverly in your area, and I thought you were talking about our Waverly because we have a Waverly mansion in West Point that's supposed to be haunted. But we're talking about two different places here, right?
Yeah, we're talking about Waverly Hills up in Kentucky.
Kentucky, okay. Have you heard of the Waverly in West Point?
No, I haven't.
The Waverly Mansion, West Point. You ought to check that out. It's really cool.
I will put that on my list, right, under the Three-Legged Lady Road.
Yeah, under the Three-Legged Lady, obviously.
I can see I'm going to have to come to Mississippi.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to.
Mississippi is so haunted, I have no idea why. Probably because Germ lives here and he's a magnet.
So they say.
We really appreciate you taking some time out and talking to us. Before we get off here, be sure to plug all your social media, all your websites, and everything you have going on in the Halloween season.
Oh, goodness me. Well, if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter and Facebook. You can either look for me under my name. I'll be under Shannon Bradley Byers. I'll talk to anybody. Send me a message. Look for Timeless Paranormal and Paranormal Genealogist. And then there's both websites, timelessparanormal.com and paranormalgenealogist.com. And then I'm on Twitter under both names and Instagram under Timeless Paranormal. So that's you can find me online. I'm on there all the time. We've got Scarefest coming up this weekend. We're actually hitting the road Thursday morning. It starts Friday. I get to walk the black carpet for the first time. So cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm more excited about that than anything else. I bought a new dress and everything, and I've watched old videos from past years, and nobody dresses up for this thing, but I bought a dress. And then on Friday night, I will be giving the talk on Pearl Bryan. And then on Saturday, I will be giving the talk on how not to be a ghost hunter. And then Sunday, I'm going to have fun with everybody else. And then, let's see, October 22nd, we're doing a fundraiser at the Wynn Russell House, which you mentioned, which is our historic house. It was built in 1826. It's the second oldest home still standing in our county. And it's a really interesting place. I've been doing the research on that for going on 4 years now, and next year. Excited. October 29th, which is we're going to be doing as a haunted hike at Panola State Park, which is kind of east of Atlanta. We're just going to take people out on and see what happens, because it's, you know, you've got the girl who drowned the lake and somebody shot themselves, and you know, before it was a state park. So we're going to see what happens. And then in November, I'm not doing a thing because I promised my husband. And then in December, on December 2nd, we're going up to the North Georgia Mountains to do a haunted pub crawl. They basically want us to come out and tell our stories from our past investigations. So I'm going to tell them what the evil entity at the state park in South Georgia did to me while I was down there.
Right. You know, and like I said a while ago, is they can go to your timelessparanormal.com and see your calendar of events that you've got, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
So, everybody, check them out. I mean, keep in touch with us, and we definitely want to.
Hey, y'all are getting rid of me. I'm coming to Mississippi, I'm telling you.
Hey, that's fine. Look, hey, my paranormal team will be glad to bring you in on some stuff.
Hey, and I expect the band to come do something here in Atlanta so I can see y'all live.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, we will make Kill Jade. You got to hit the shameless promotion bell.
Where'd the bell go? There it is.
we have this bell that we ring for a shameless promotion bell. But, yeah, we'll definitely come out there, and, you know, we'd love to hang out for sure.
Yeah, even if you just want to play in my basement, I'll sell a couple of tickets. Because I was telling Germ, I was like, I actually like your music, which,
well, you know,
not that should mean anything to you, but I'm a music snob. And generally with me, if it's after 1989, I don't care, because I'm an 80s hairband girl.
I am an 80s hairband girl.
I'm bald,
yeah,
but
I really do enjoy y'all's stuff.
Well, thank you very much for that. And, you know, like I said, thanks for taking time out to do this interview with us. It has been great talking to you. And it just hearing the stuff that you talk about is, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of like a rekindling for me. And, you know, what I do with the paranormal and stuff like that. And maybe one of these days I'm going to make Anthony and Mark both full-fledged paranormal investigators. Whether they go in as skeptics or not, it's okay to be a skeptic going into an investigation.
You should have a skeptic. You need somebody to keep you grounded.
Exactly.
On an investigation. It's like, you know, I love Kenny from Deeks and Ghosts. You know, he's more of a hardcore skeptic because he doesn't believe in anything. But I like his... He makes me think when he asks me questions
right.
about something I'm talking about. So a skeptic is always good. Don't ever get rid of the skeptics.
Exactly.
And, if y'all ever need help with research on anything out there y'all are doing, you know where to find me.
Three-legged lady.
Thank you very much for that. And I can assure you at some point there is going to be a time you're going to get a message from me like, help, with exclamation points.
Well, what's funny is when I was listening to the other podcast when you were talking about the jail, and it was all I could do not to start looking that up to see what I could find on it. I mean, I was sitting on my hands. No, Shannon, you're not going
right,
to research
right.
it.
You know, and that's the thing about it for us, too, is all three of us are interested to know the absolute complete history behind the place. You know, I mean, anything that we can find out, we're going to do our best to find out. You know, going into it.
Right.
So.
And I love that. That's awesome.
Right.
Well, thanks again for calling in and talking to us for a little while. Thanks for being accessible. I know you got a busy schedule and you got a lot going on, especially with Halloween. October's right here. We're in it. By the time this show airs, it'll be the first week of October. So thanks for calling in and taking time out, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it because, I mean, you can tell I love to talk about this stuff. So anytime y'all want to talk, you know where to find me.
You awesome. Bet. We'll do it. Well, you have a good
y'all
evening.
Y'all got my phone number now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We won't share it with too many people, I promise.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, if you ever want me back, just let me know.
Will do. You have a good evening, all right?
I will, and y'all watch my face. I know Germ's friends with me. I don't think anybody else is, so if y'all want to send me a friend request and watch those pictures from the black carpet at Scarefest this weekend, send me one, and I'll accept it.
I will make sure they do that.
We'll definitely do that.
All right. Y'all have a good evening.
Thanks, Shannon. You too.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Turn the air conditioner off, so hopefully it'll be quite as noisy in the background as it was on the way up there. We are on our way home from the Lyric Theater. I gotta tell you, I'm really anxious to get this podcast edited and get it put up so I can listen to it.
Yeah,
I think this is gonna be like one of my favorite shows this year because, you know, like I was talking about from a fan perspective. Actually, you know, I'm a fan of the show, and some of the shows I just really enjoy listening to, and I can tell this is going to be one of them because I get to play that different mode once I get it uploaded.
Well, you know, the thing about it is we went in there, and the Lyric, I mean, what did he say? It was like a 60,000 square foot, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big freaking place.
It's like a mall if it was one story.
Yeah. But he did give us the tour of it and everything, and you know, really thankful for that. They got a lot of big stuff coming up.
Oh yeah, and I do have a lot of editing to do to get it, you know, somewhere in the range of an hour long show. But at the same time, I haven't listened to the audio yet, but when I go back and listen to it, I kind of want to leave it when we did the walkthrough, not edit out as much
of the walkthrough
as I normally would, because I want to, maybe the listeners can get the experience of that they were doing in the walkthrough with us.
Right.
Like if you actually hear us, you know, kind of swishing around and steps creaking and crawling and
under stages,
bumping into stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I'm proud of you. That was like spider web infestation down there, and you didn't freak out. You did good.
Yeah, I had my big boy pants on. Not to mention, and I'm not claustrophobic, but that was a couple of tight little squeezes to get down to the little dungeon room.
Yeah. I mean, because once you get squeezed in between the stairs and, you know, the doorway there, you still have to squeeze in to get down there and then turn and make a lift and squeeze in again. I mean, you basically have to kind of be really flexible or made of liquid.
So this is your first time to ever be in the Lyric?
I went several years ago when they did the haunted house thing, but we never got like the grand tour. I mean, it was
right. You get the behind the scenes.
It was probably 10 years ago when I went to the Lyric and did that. So, I mean, that was before my kids were even born. So, but yeah, it's getting to see, you know, firsthand backstage what he's got going on and everything. That's. It's really interesting. I think we need to definitely make a weekend up there.
I know. I wish on the podcast they could see the look that I turned in and gave you to confirm to see if you heard what I heard when we were walking.
Yeah.
From the theater into another room, I heard something like kind of swoosh and rustle behind us, and I turned and I looked at you, and you had the same look like her.
Yeah.
What was that?
And then upstairs. When we were coming out of the fabric room, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was.
We're standing in that doorway, and I heard this shuffling noise, and I turned around and looked because it literally felt like it was right behind us.
Which, we're not just trying to play up scares for the podcast. There were a lot of people in that building working, so it could have been anything. But when you're in a building like that and it's got that much history and you know that it's one of the top haunted places in the world, when you hear a whoosh or a swish, yeah, you know, it kind of makes you take more closer attention to it.
Yeah. You don't take it with a grain of salt quite as much.
And I guess we're really lucky to be able to go and do a walkthrough and a tour of one of the most haunted places in America. I mean, he showed us the magazine on the wall where it had it listed as number 6 in the country.
Yep.
So, and again, I don't know, like he said, I don't know how they rate that or come up with it, but if you think about it, that tornado happened in 1936. Well, it's had a lot of years to keep the stories alive.
Right. You know, and if people have been hearing this, and of course, he said it didn't start till like the 1980s, or was it 90s, that he said, when Antoine's name was first dropped.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing is the mystery behind where the name came from.
Right.
Nobody seems to know.
But, well, you know, something like that, like, you can't help but wonder, well, why are you hanging around here? You know, I mean, which would be a question I guess I would ask if I was to do a paranormal investigation, because I like to get answers. I like to try to find out as much as I can.
And it sounds like a paranormal investigation has never actually taken place there.
Right.
Definitely not on a official capacity.
It would be really, really cool if we could get that one of these days. But, you know, that's totally up to the business end of it.
As active as that place is, could you just imagine some of the EVPs and the spirit box sessions? And
oh, those 4 or 5 hours worth of sitting there listening to it over and over would be so worth it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that goes involved into editing these podcasts. Well, I tell you what, when I get to listening to EVPs and stuff, I have never gone through ear fatigue like I go through doing that.
Well, some people obviously have a much better ear than me, because I've heard of people catching EVPs that were at high speed and they had to slow it down to make it audible.
Right.
And some they're even reversed.
Yeah.
That when I first heard it, and there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that have some of these EVPs, when you first hear it, it just sounds like a little noise. But when they play it back, or they turn it around, or they slow it down, or speed it up, it clearly sounds like a voice saying, answering a question, or saying a word, or whatever.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that, well, it's not a fact, it's a theory, that they say that spirits talk to us in a different frequency from what we're used to. Some people even say that they talk to us on a frequency like that dogs can hear, you know, like a dog whistle or something like that. It's on a different frequency. Your ears can't hear it, but a dog can.
Yeah.
It's kind of same kind of concept, I guess you'd say.
So we need to invent a ghost whistle.
We can
We'd make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's called the Ghost Whistle.
Make it like a little earpiece that filters out everything. Wait, we're telling too much.
Yeah, don't steal our idea. Or steal it, develop it, do all the work, and give us some money.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Heard it here first. All right, well, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget to put your name in the hat for the drawing for Dr. Alan Brown's book. He's going to be on the show really soon. I've been reading the book. It's awesome.
Yep.
Go ahead and buy a copy, because this is the copy that you may win is a signed copy that you can kind of put away and put up, and, you know, you can have a reader's copy.
Right.
And in case you don't win, you've already got a copy because you bought one. It's definitely worth the money. And he's wrote a bunch of other books. Go check out all of his stuff.
Right. And like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, the Lyric, you know, they are doing the
Haunted Theater
starting this weekend, this Friday night. They're going to do it weekends from now through to Halloween.
Tomorrow night, as time travel goes.
Yep. Tomorrow night. So if you're out this way, or you want to get out this way, definitely going to be worth it. He said it was $15.
Yeah, which is definitely worth it.
Yeah. So, you know, come check it out.
And don't forget to go to the haunted house we mentioned earlier in Golden, Mississippi, that our friends are hosting. And check that out, too. And stay tuned for the next episode of Kill Pop Culture. Love you, bye.
Love you, mean it.
I didn't record any of that. I forgot to hit the button.
What?
Just kidding. Wait. Yeah, just kidding.